Welcome, welcome, welcome again to What'd You Think? The Drive Home After the Movie. And today, of course, we are going to talk very spoiler heavy about Maleficent. Did I pronounce it right? Did
Yay! You got it
I pronounced it right? I'm so
right that time. Y'all
happy.
could hear her practice before this. It was hilarious.
It's the hardest word to say in the whole world. Today, I am joined by my wonderful cousin David O'Rourke, all the way
Hello.
from Austin, Texas. Hey, David.
Hey, how doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, good. It's great to have you. And of course, also my lovely co-host, Bobby Blakey, man of a thousand hats.
Hello.
And we are just going to hit the ground running. Maleficent is one of those movies we always start talking about the trailers. And the second I saw the teaser poster for this, I just went bananas because this is my favorite bad gal of all time, and this is one of those movies where if it was going to be bad, it was going to break my heart terribly because I wanted this to be so wonderfully wickedly good. And I'm gonna let company start. David, when you saw the trailers, what did you expect, and how'd that compare to what you saw?
Well, first let me start by saying that when I was little, me and both my sisters were brought up on Disney movies, and I was always I always had a preference for Sleeping Beauty. Of course, I was aware at the time that it was a movie made for little girls and not a little boy like me, but I think I
What?
really liked that movie just because Maleficent was such a terrifying woman.
Yes.
And so when I first heard that they were going to make a movie about her, I thought that was a really good idea. And I don't remember the first time that I saw a poster. I just remember like the very first still image they showed it of the movie was just a picture of Angelina Jolie's face in the Maleficent makeup,
Oh.
and I thought that looked really good. And then, that, like I said, it still looked like it was going to be a good movie. And then when I first saw the trailer, it gave me chills down my spine because they had that song. They had the original song from Sleeping Beauty, the Once Upon a Dream song.
Oh yeah.
But
But a
yeah, and they were,
creepy version of
yeah,
it.
right. And it's covered by Lana Del Rey, who has a really nice voice, but in this movie, she really creeps it up, and it gave the trailer a really dark tone to it. And I just remember, that song, and then just that real quick close of Angelina Jolie's face when she's walking
Oh.
across a windy field in slow motion. So I saw that, and I thought, okay, this movie looks like it's going to be good. So
Oh,
I was pretty hyped right away.
cool. Well, Bobby, what do you think about the trailers and
I'm going to be the opposite. It's like I'm not a Disney fan at all. And I always tell everybody I don't think it's because of anything Disney did. I think it's my art background. The first thing I look at was the like I love the If I have to do any Disney thing, I love the old stuff, the Fox and the Hound and the Robin Hoods when they used all the animals, and then I like the more obscure ones like Black Cauldron and things like that. But I think it always put me off because everything was the same art. It always looked the same a lot of times where they found a niche. So it kind of just disinterested me, if you will. But Maleficent was one of the few characters I just thought was badass, because she was creepy and scary.
Totally.
She didn't fit in a Disney movie, and that's what made her so cool.
Right.
When they decided to make a movie of her, I'm like, this could be really awesome, or this is going to be a train wreck. I mean, there's really no way, anytime they do this, it's pretty much your only two options. The first poster I saw, I was really pleased because I hate Angelina Jolie, but I was like, and I saw that poster, I'm like, damn, they got her right. That looks badass.
That's exactly what I thought.
And when I saw the trailer, I was like, okay, it has potential. It's gonna, it, but it to me, it teetered on the fence the whole trailer. It's either gonna be really kind of cool, or it's gonna be really irritating. And I actually kind of got both. So,
If you want to know something real interesting, just want to throw this in there, because
sure.
I know because you got a background in animation, Bobby. one behind
like that,
the...
I like that snarky statement, Bobby. That was awesome.
Well, you know, one thing that sets the original Sleeping Beauty apart from other Disney movies is that, sorry, what was I going to say?
I don't know.
If you watch the behind the scenes of that movie, because that's how into Disney movies I was when I was younger, one of the lead animators was saying that when they were trying to get the look down of the movie, they said that they wanted to make the animation look like a painting from that medieval era.
Oh, right.
And so what they did, and so one of like these, you know, artistic styles they did back then is that they drew everything in straight lines. So when you're watching Sleeping Beauty, you notice that all the trees are just standing straight upright, and all the castle towers are standing up straight, and all the characters always walk around with their back straightened up.
Oh my gosh. So that was something new one for.
Yeah, right. I'll have to go back and look at it because I'll admit it's been years since I watched Sleeping Beauty, and my disdain for Disney, I'm sure a lot of it came from the years of, you know, like the Little Mermaids and stuff, which I don't think are horrible movies, but, you know, for a while there, everyone was the same. They just would change the princess's hair and clothes, and it was the same art. So it
you're absolutely right.
You know, but like the older ones, I'm more open to because of, I love the style and I love the rough, especially like stuff like Jungle Book that's kind of sketchy and dirty looking the way they draw it, which so I'll probably end up revisiting Sleeping Beauty just for that case and now I'm even more interested because of what you said.
Well, let's talk about the art because I thought that the whole movie was like watching a storybook. It was just beautiful.
It was definitely pretty to look at.
The palette was incredible.
I will give you that. It is a pretty movie. I don't know if I can give you much more than that as a whole, but it was a pretty movie.
Ouch, man! How can you be that way? It was gorgeous, and the first time you saw her, even as the child version of her, with those wings, oh my gosh, that's great.
I agree with you as far as the wings go. But it just, I don't want to get into gripes yet. Like, the wings I thought were amazing, because anytime you put wings on anybody, I know, but anytime you put wings on a character in a movie, there's a bigger chance of it going horribly wrong. And I will say this, a few times that they did it awesome.
Right. I agree. I think of all the movies where they have an angel or, you know, some human with wings coming out of their back, you know, it does look kind of tacky.
Yeah.
But, no, here it looked really cool. So, looks really neat. Instead of like, you know, having like white dove wings, she had like, you know, darker like hawk wings.
Yeah,
cool.
Well, they felt like they belonged on her body.
Exactly.
You know, despite being that, you know, that off the wall fantastical mentality, they felt like they belonged there as opposed to, look, it's Angelina Jolie or this other kid with wings. And I think the way they used them, you know, cleverly for her to fight with and to fly with and to cover up with and stuff, made them kind of part of her personality as opposed to just her flying around.
Right, right.
Right, they were like an extra set of limbs that she was born and raised with.
Exactly.
Were you going to, David, were you going to say something else about the animation or the palette, the color of the movie?
Oh. Actually, I wanted to add one more thing about the original Sleeping Beauty, and I think, you know, in regards to the animation, I think one thing that made Maleficent really scary, you know how I was saying earlier that, you know, in the world of Sleeping Beauty, it's just a world made out of, like, straight lines that, you know, point up vertically, and, you know, everything kind of looks peaceful and in order,
mm-hmm.
But then at the very end, you know, when Maleficent, you know, comes to do battle, she just bursts into the world in this, you know, giant forest of, you know, prickly, bent out of shape thorns,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's really just, I don't know, I think that's just cool how she just kind of comes into battle like that. So, but as for this movie, you know, like you said, Catherine, it really did have a storybook look to it, and, you know, it was very pretty. You know, the CGI was pretty good. I liked it. I think some of those little fairy tale creatures looked really corny. Actually, I was going to say, you know, there's this one, you know, like, particular race of creatures that, They're like the short little fat ones with the long noses. They look exactly like that little alien pet that Gary Oldman had in The Fifth Element.
Wait, I could not get past those. I agree with you completely. Though most of the characters in her little world didn't feel like they belonged in that movie with the other characters.
Yeah.
You know, the water nymphs were really cool. I liked those.
Were cool. The big tree things looked awesome.
Uh-huh.
But then you shifted to the little fat creatures and the different little things. They had the big they looked like cartoon characters. They looked like something out of an animated movie as opposed to supposed to be part of this world. And I think that was a huge misstep because it was hard to buy into that world because it felt kind of like Song of the South where she stepped into this animated world. You know, I know it didn't have any races or stuff in it, but.
Yeah, the troll characters, they were a stretch for me. They kind of broke that. You know, when you go into a movie, you have pretty much a standard of disbelief. You're willing to cash in for pretty much anything. And
well, that's a lot when you have the main characters got horns.
Yeah.
And she's got wings, and then it's an issue that she doesn't fit in with the other characters in the movie. That's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Right.
She's bizarre
looking. You know, it's like what happened to Maleficent's family? Where did she come from? That's something I wondered.
It's Disney,
you know, where are the other winged horned girls?
Why is she the only one now? Of course it's Disney, so of course her parents are dead because Disney.
Right.
Disney kills everybody's family. That's why they bought Star Wars, because it was already done.
I like the way you think, Luke.
Thank you. Hey, there's a franchise that kills family. We need that.
But yeah, why is she the only one? That's a good question.
Since we're complaining.
Okay.
I'll have to say, when it came to her, again, me not being an Angelina Jolie fan, you know, I was on the fence already, you know, and I try to go in with an open mind, you know, I put my reviewer cap on when I see him at these screenings, and I try not to judge everything based on my personal feelings for an actor and give him a chance. When she was being the Maleficent we know from, you know, the cartoon, the evil side, I thought she was amazing.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie, she just irritated me. It's like, I thought, especially I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, no, you're right. I am also not a fan of Angelina Jolie. I don't think I've ever seen her in a movie where she impressed me, but, you know, I liked her a lot in this movie, but, you know, it could be because I thought every other character was just really boring or annoying.
Oh, yes. Nobody fit the casting in that movie.
Right, absolutely, yeah, and... So, but no, in this movie, she was fun to watch. And you could tell she had fun doing this movie.
Oh yeah, she was getting to do her thing, you could tell she was just having a blast, and I was like, why are we not getting more of this version of her when she's doing, you know, causing problems and getting this evil look on her face? I'm like, she was killing it. That we should have got 2 hours of just her walking around starting shit.
Yeah. Well, once she got screwed over by her boyfriend, she was in the zone.
You brought that up. I have to bring up this because I've been irritated about this conversation about everybody comparing this to a rape scene. I don't know if y'all have heard about this.
I haven't, and I
disagree.
I can't disagree more. This has been a big argument all online, and people are writing articles, and everybody's saying that this is like a date rape scene because he drugged her, and then this is her being a victim, and I'm like, I never once thought about that. I came home, literally, I swear to you, came home from the screening, okay, you know, the week before it comes out, somebody sends me a message asking if it was any good, and then the first thing after that is, what about the rape scene?
No.
I thought they were joking, and I'm like, what? There's no rape scene. I'm like, they needed a rape scene. You should have seen this movie. But, and then they were like, no. Somebody said there's this rape scene that's really powerful. I said, there is no rape scene in this movie.
No.
Not that it even implies rape scene. And it has been baffling. You know, me and my wife have been talking about it. And I'm like, did I miss something? Am I that insensitive? sensitive to the world at this point. You know, and I'm glad to see that, you know, you guys didn't really get that either, because that's apparently been a big contention and an argument with people right now.
Well, I saw what he did to her, you know, a literal corollary of he clipped her wings. He took, you know, he broke her heart, and that's
right.
it's the visual corollary of how you feel emotionally, like after a divorce or after the end of a long relationship. It's,
well, let me just say, I didn't feel that way after my divorce. Let me just say.
Well.
Well, no, I get what you're saying, that, you know, when she got her wings clipped, you know, it's like she was sort of just, he sort of just, you know, killed her former self that
right.
she just couldn't go back to. You know, that was, I think that, more than anything, that just marked the end of her childhood innocence.
Right.
So,
right.
But, you know, I think, you know, I feel like that scene should have been a bit more traumatizing, and I think, you know, I don't feel like Angelina Jolie was emotionally convincing enough.
Well, I feel the same way you do, but not in the actual scene itself. Although I, as you say that, I agree with you now. I think it should have been, I didn't like the fact that she so easily twisted over about it. And I know it was on a long period of time, you know, of years of her watching this little girl, but she seemed to just so simply just go from ready to just destroy everything to, oh, you know. And,
right.
and I'm like, really? You know? And
I don't know. I don't know if that's her fault. I think that's just more, you know, in the writing where they
right.
decide, you know, she's evil one second and then she just gets a little soft at the side of a baby.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Well, I see her watching the baby grow up is kind of her, redemption over time, and that's symbolically that time can heal even the deepest of wounds, even though you don't think it will. It's kind of sappy, but that's what I got out of it, is where there's life, there's hope, and there's always a chance to heal no matter how deep the trauma is.
And those stupid godmothers were annoying to no end.
Oh my
god. I hated them. They were so annoying.
They were very annoying. And what kills me
was,
is I love Judi Dench. Judi Dench can do no wrong, but I'm like, oh man.
She's not in the movie, so thank God.
My Judi Dench look-alike.
I like when you put people in movies that aren't there.
I did. It was fun.
No, you're right. I thought the three fairy godmothers were horrible guardians. You know, I think, you know, they ought to be wondering where Sleeping Beauty runs off to at nighttime and during the day.
They don't even know how to feed him. Apparently, the bird raised her.
Yeah, they're horrible people.
Right, and you know, they almost let her run off a cliff, and God knows what else would have happened to her.
I did, speaking of the bird, he was my absolute favorite breakaway. I absolutely adore him character. His makeup was absolutely phenomenal. The prosthetics on his face were, Cole was telling me that those things by his eyes are where the musculature of his beak would be attached if he was a bird. So they actually based the prosthetics on his face correctly for the anatomy of what he was originally supposed to be. And I just loved the character overall. I adored him. In fact, at the end, at the pivotal, you know, the pivotal moment when they're trying to get somebody to kiss her to wake her up, I thought it was going to be him who goes over and kisses her, because he'd taken care of her all her life. Hell, he fed her and played with her and visited her all the time. And
well, and, you know, it might as well have been him to kiss the Sleeping Beauty, because let me tell you, the prince in the movie was useless.
Oh,
that was such a wasted part of the entire film.
Yeah.
No kidding.
It's like they put it there and it served no purpose. I mean, I thought they were going to at least do something funny with it later, and they didn't. They just, they, you know, they strictly obviously just put it in there to try to go along with the original story and to get people like, oh, there's the prince or whatever. And it was just like, he was such a useless waste of time.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I never can say his name right. Charlton Copley, the guy that played the king.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The dude is such a great actor, and he was horrible in this movie. He just didn't fit. I mean, he's not a guy that should be anybody's love interest anyway, but he's such a great actor, and he just felt like, I don't know if he knew he was in the same movie with the rest of these people.
I wanted to feel some sort of sympathy for him, or at least try to understand where he was coming from, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I love just about everything he's in, and I hated him in this.
Right, exactly. You know, it's kind of hard to see him being District 9 and that other one, Elysium, where he was playing really intense roles.
Yeah.
And then just going to the big movie. So you're right, he didn't fit this one. And
he should have been able to bring those characters to this one, because by the end of the film, when he started acting kind of crazy, that's the guy from Elysium. He should have brought that guy, and he clearly forgot he was in that movie, too.
Yeah, and you know, it's obvious what they were trying to do with him. Like, they wanted to have him fit that, you know, classical character of, you know, a king gone mad. And I thought about what they were trying to do with him. And aside from Angelina Jolie, I thought he was the only other interesting character. But even with him, you know, they should have done so much more with him, you know. Like, they, I don't know, for me, it was hard to believe that he, you know, started his life off as, you know, living in a farm and then suddenly becoming the ruler of a kingdom.
Yeah, you'd think coming from some simple roots would bring something to the table.
Now, hold on. Right. I have to bring up, because of our past shows, and I don't mean to go off on a tangent, do you not have a problem with this sequence, Catherine, that he just suddenly went from being this farmer's hand to suddenly the king? You're okay with that?
I'm okay, because Disney pulls that crap all the time. I mean, kill somebody's parents, they find some peasant to be a king, you know?
Well, in case you've never heard the show, there's an ongoing issue of the random weird things that bother Catherine. It should bother Catherine that don't, so we always have to ask.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
They didn't do my number one pet peeve.
What,
my number one pet peeve is where the you know, the movie starts with a scene, and then you get the scene, and something happens, and then the next words you see were, you know, like it says 5 years ago. So great, the whole movie is a flashback.
Right.
That's my number one pet peeve in a movie.
Well, I can guarantee that she had issues that didn't have Hugh Jackman topless in it either.
Well, they can't all.
That's another. Well, you seem to want it.
Well,
anyway, continue.
Well, anyway, I think one more thing. Hey, I got one more thing to say about the king is that one thing they should not have left out was when he made the transition from, you know, being Maleficent's childhood lover to, you know, just being, because they said that he got corrupted by greed and, you know, wanting to get into the kingdom. And, you know, I think they should have shown him, you know, his little transformation into that. You know, they should have shown how he went from, you know, like, you know, a modest farm boy into someone who just really wants to get to the throne.
Well,
especially when they first mention that, they come back to it,
and he's like, he's not acting the way she's saying he's acting at first, which is weird, because that part of the story kind of threw me, because you say he was corrupted, and they're not showing anything that he's doing in relation to being corrupted initially, you know, not till he finally decides he wants to be king, but when they first show him, he's not acting mean or evil.
Yeah, he's not acting conflicted, right.
Yeah, so it makes sense, like, clearly, she's just grumpy, you know.
And then, you know, and also, you know, the queen, you know, was kind of a blink and you miss it character. You know, she was in that one scene, and then, you know, you don't see her again. Someone just says, oh, hey, the queen's not feeling well. and then no one mentions her ever again.
Yeah,
she was in the bathroom.
Yeah,
so
she,
it's like, what happened to her?
She kind of got.
They were a very forward thinking kingdom. He was both the king and the queen.
Well, they didn't even say what killed her off. Just
that guy's acting.
Well, you know, another thing that did make me mad was when Sleeping Beauty falls asleep. You know, they did the whole bit where the three fairies are given their wishes, and the third fairy gets interrupted. It's that third fairy that's supposed to say she's not going to die, but she'll fall
You're
asleep.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
So they still had a wish coming, and they never even mm-hmm. used that. Plus,
they were too busy shooting lesbian sequences, which bothers me that nobody's coming around complaining that now there's a lesbian undertones in this film. Not that I thought that at the time. Well, I did think that at the time, but not that, you know, that
yes.
I think the lesbian undertones of her kissing Sleeping Beauty, like the true love awakening. Because you know how people always read into that crap?
She
they found rape
her
on
the lips.
I didn't say they made it sexual. I know that. But everybody, you know, I'm really shocked the way our society is, because people, clearly with the rape sequence too, people always. It is. People always go into that crap. And when I saw that, that was the one thing I thought I was going to start hearing these stupid backlashes about, not the supposed rape scene that I didn't know existed at the time. I swore people were going to start coming back and be like, oh, there's lesbian undertones in this, because everybody reads that crap into everything.
Yeah. And
surprisingly, I was a little disappointed we got people talking about the rape instead of that.
Well, what blows my mind is they're talking about lesbian and they're talking about rape, but she's obviously a demon. I mean, she's got the horns and the wings, and I mean,
she's a fairy.
Gail's a demon.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, fairy, yeah, whatever. But you know, the whole swamp knows she's a demon.
you're a very judgmental young lady.
What do you think, David?
Well, okay, I've read a little bit about this movie, and I read this one production fact about the movie, which can tie into what you're saying, Catherine. Angelina Jolie's horns, you know, the part where she's like in, you know, the full classic suit,
uh-huh.
you know, and her horns are like wrapped in black leather.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, she personally hired a company that makes dominatrix gear to make those horns for her.
Nice.
Well, that was a business decision.
Right. And then, you know, and then there's that part where she barges in on the birthday party and she tells the king, she says, I like it when you beg. Do it again.
Yeah.
You know, that was a total dominatrix moment.
Oh,
uh-huh. Right there.
That would have been a so much better movie if we had between the dominatrix and the lesbianism and the rape. I mean, there's a really hardcore movie here, hidden.
That's right.
We're not seeing.
But see, I don't know why everyone's not making a big deal out of that. That they, you know, made a Disney movie about a dominatrix demon.
Yeah, with her own naked bird pet.
Because people.
Exactly.
Because people latch on whatever stupid thing they find, and they're all idiots.
Because who's been a naughty bird?
Oh, goodness. Catherine.
But
okay.
what happened to where the kingdom's supposed to fall asleep when she knocks out?
Yeah, they left that out, too.
Yeah.
And then there was... And also, in the original Sleeping Beauty, you know, at the end, Maleficent kidnaps the prince when he goes looking for her at that cottage in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't kidnap her, and so the three fairy godmothers had to go rescue her, and they had to fight their way out of Maleficent's castle.
Uh-huh.
Which I think that would have looked cool in the live-action movie, but they totally nixed that scene. But then, you know, at the end of... But then, in Sleeping Beauty, the bird's trying to stop them, and one of the fairies ends up turning the bird into a statue, and that's the end of the movie. And so I was thinking about that when they first introduced the bird character, that, you know, he's going to end up turning into stone.
Yeah.
At the end of that really cool scene where they're fighting the way out of Maleficent's castle, but they don't show it.
I think they realized that those godmothers were really annoying and we didn't want to see them any more than we had to.
Right.
Yeah, and I guess they had to justify the king's death and redeem her, where she she got to the point where she could off him and decides to step back, and he just won't. He just won't let it go, and so that seems to be the source of his demise, is that he just won't let it stop.
Right.
So.
Oh no, the majority of this movie just annoyed me.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, let me say the very last thing that annoyed me the most was that Maleficent did not turn into the dragon at the end.
Yeah, I was so pissed.
I thought
I thought that was going to be like the birth of like two dragons. I was like, that's going to be fucking badass. They showed him, then she's going to get her wings, and she's going to bust loose, and she's going to turn into her dragon, and we're going to have dragons ripping everybody up. And, you know, and now we've got lesbians, and we've got dragons, and we've got date rape and bondage, and we didn't get none of that. I clearly had a whole different movie in my head during the screening.
Some dragon on dragon action would have been cool.
Exactly. You can never have enough of that.
Yeah, they dropped the ball at the end. I just wonder if they couldn't figure out how they wanted to end the thing.
I personally think they were trying to go so far away from the original story to tell something different, that they were trying to keep just enough to keep the hardcore Disney fans potentially happy by giving them, you know, a little symbolism of the original, while be able to say this, but this is our story, you know, and we're doing something different.
Right.
So they keep changing it, and it's like they had enough change that they could have still done that kind of stuff. And you know, I personally didn't like the direction they went with the character. I thought I wanted to just see her evil, because one, that's what made her so cool, and Jolie was so badass as her when she was evil. But when she tried to be nice about it, I thought the character was horrible. I mean, I was like, oh, kill me now.
Well, and I kind of wondered about the end, because as far as I know, Sleeping Beauty is supposed to be a human, so she was declared queen of everything, which is your standard fate of a Disney princess, is being queen of everything. But you know, Maleficent is an immortal, so you know, that'll last a while. I'd like to see about 100 years later, when the grandkids are trying to run the place and aren't satisfied with just, you know, rainbows and butterflies to keep them occupied. And,
well, you know, it's done so well, they're going to end up doing some kind of a sequel, and it's going to be a really horrible storyline. And
straight to video.
Yeah, they're going to be like, hey, let's make her evil the whole film, but now nobody's going to care. And they're like, oh, why didn't we get this version before?
Or she's not so much evil as she's just bitchy.
All the people that are buying into it like it is now are going to realize, oh man, the first movie would have been so much better if we had her evil the whole time.
or Sleeping Beauty ends up marrying Prince Charming there, and you know, they all move into the ruins of the castle and try to renovate the whole thing, and it turns into a combination of a reality program with your mother-in-law and Trading Spaces.
And since it's going to be a straight-to-video sequel, you have Kim Kardashian as Maleficent.
No, I could see that working as a skit on Saturday Night Live.
Or in the adult film feature that I'm currently writing based on all our conversations.
Wow. David, help us.
We're too far gone.
Sorry. With the way the movie ended, you're right. I think we all got to remember, because I think, you know, we have our complaints about the movie, but then again, you know, this is a movie made for kids that aren't going to try to rationalize everything. So
that was one thing that I pointed out, that if for people that are hardcore Disney fans or kids that love the characters, I think it's a perfectly made movie for those people. I mean, I think it did what it wanted to do for that audience. I personally think it missed some brilliant opportunities for such a cool character. And my biggest complaint about the entire thing and the fact that it's so successful is all the crap that's going to be made because of it with all their other projects. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to bring every freaking thing to life, to real live action, and it's going to end up being like a Country Bears crap again.
Well, I'm going to give it, I think I'm going to give it, I'm going to have to give it 3.5 fairy godmothers out of 5.
Unacceptable.
If I was a little kid, I would give it 4.5. But I am not. So I'm a grown up. So I'm going to give it 3.5. What do you think, David? How would you rate it?
Well, I guess watching it as an adult, I would have to give it a D+. If I saw it as a kid, if I saw it as my younger self who, you know, was, you know, horrified by Maleficent, I guess I'd give it a C+, you know. So
I'm almost afraid to see hear what Bobby's going to say.
I think you're going to be...
Go ahead.
I got to say one more time, biggest disappointment, you know, Maleficent didn't turn into the dragon. She gave, you know, that's my biggest pet peeve right there.
We need a director's cut that has dragon in it.
I'm actually completely with you, because once the first time I saw her when she comes in the castle, not the first time, but when she comes in there, she starts doing all the magic, and it's the green, and the palette looks like the old cartoon and everything. I'm like, that's what I've been waiting to see. This movie has just redeemed itself. And then when they didn't give us that dragon, to me, it crashed again. But
do you think she turned the bird into the dragon, and that was supposed to be the substitute for it?
It was, and it was so that they could have Angelina Jolie on the screen more. That's exactly why they do that, is they want their lead actor. It's just like the reason the original Dredd movie, Judge Dredd movie, was Stallone. He didn't have his helmet because they wanted to see Stallone's face the whole movie.
That's,
you know,
true.
I mean, they do that crap all the time, and they ruin characters because they keep taking their helmets off, and they keep, you know, it's like if you make Star Wars. Yeah, where they always have to take their freaking mask off. Yeah, exactly. But I will say, despite my many issues with this film, I did go into it expecting to completely dislike it. I was still entertained. I did not think it was a horrible film. I actually gave it a fairly decent review. I didn't gush over it. I did point out its flaws, but I think it was, to me, was way better than I expected, and way better than I think it deserved for the many missteps that it made. But I think all of that isn't due to Jolie's performance, mostly, like I said, in the evil version of the character in the movie. But I think if it had been somebody else, the whole movie probably would have crashed and burned. So I think I'd still give it like a 3 out of 5.
Cool.
Give it an average score.
One thing that Cole pointed out to me after we'd watched the movie was apparently they used her little girl to be one of the ages of Sleeping Beauty, because they needed a little child that wouldn't be frightened by her. I thought that was rather clever.
I read that too. You could tell that little girl looked just like a mini Angelina Jolie, so I knew that too.
I didn't even think it was one of those of her kids, because none of them were like from Taiwan or wherever they're from.
No, she has a couple of kids that are actually hers.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I guess so. Then I'll let it slide. she's breeding an entire kung fu film, I'm telling you.
And you will be there to review it.
I will be there. I will be first in line to watch that movie because there's potential ninjas. That's the other thing that was missing in this movie. There were no ninjas.
Well, see, you like ninjas. I like Wolverine, you know.
And that's why the Wolverine movie was so awesome. It had ninjas and Wolverine.
You also had Samurai in it, right?
Yeah.
I like Samurai.
Oh, yeah. You're right. It is a good movie.
It just didn't have the right Silver Samurai in it.
Yeah.
Well, fellas,
I had to bring that up. I'm depressed again.
Oh. Thanks so much for joining me for What'd You Think. Now, David, normally we have podcasting people and people with many fingers and many pies. So if you have anything that you're working on that you would like to promote on the Jedi Cole universe with What'd You Think, are there any projects you're up to or any personal films, independent films you'd like to promote?
Well, I've got some things lined up, but they're not all my projects. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about anything because, you know, so many people are very possessive and secretive about what they're working on, and, you know, they want to be the ones that spill the beans first.
Okay.
So,
David's working on cool things that you can't know about, and that makes it even cooler.
That makes it awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yes. So, but
that's what he's saying without saying.
I will tell you. I will say that I'll be running camera for the Texas Roller Derby this Saturday at 6 p.m., and if you can't be in Austin to catch that, you could watch it live online at TexasRollerGirls.org.
TexasRollerGirls.org. Awesome.
Sweet.
Right.
And Bobby, what have you been up to?
Well, as always, I'm hosting this show with you and appearing on various other shows that Cole forces me into, as well as the You Are Here cartoon that I work on with Mr. Cole, and our You Are Here, your first year here, You Are Here Volume 1 is now available, I believe, through the Jedi Cole Universe website, my website, laststopcomic.com, as well as at Urban Legends in Mesquite, and I don't remember the name of the store in Austin, but do you know the name of it?
A Tribe.
Close enough. And I also write for the Dallas Examiner, covering TVs, movies, martial arts, and comics. So if you want to find me, go to theexaminer.com, look up Bobby Blakey. And I am also, since we're talking about films, I am scheduled to go shoot a film in either Florida or California called The Martial Arts Kid with Don the Dragon Wilson and Cynthia Rothrock. But I'm waiting for my shoot schedule, so we'll see.
Cool.
Very cool.
We knew you win.
You'll know me after, too, because I don't think it's going to be that big of a part.
Well, thanks, everybody, and we look forward to you listening to us next time on What'd You Think?
Whee!
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.